Sounds awesome like there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, at Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is a very special reunion recap episode.
I'm so excited.
I'm so exhausted.
I'm also exhausted. You must be more exhausted. This is literally the morning after.
Yeah, morning after. My voice is raw. I'm ready to tell you all about it.
I don't know anything. You didn't tell me anything. We're saving it for this moment. So I'm very excited to hear.
Yeah. Okay, so picture this. September 22nd, 2025, Manhattan, New York. So just to catch everybody else up at home, my friend Jess, who was kind enough to get me the ticket, ended up getting herself a ticket in the second round of ticket releases. So I got to go with a friend, which was really great. She wasn't sitting by me, but it was nice to just have her there. So we showed up to the theater probably like 10 minutes before showtime, thinking like, oh, we'll just like walk right in. The line was around the block. It was nuts. So we waited in line. We had chats. It was exactly what you would imagine. Like everyone there was one of us. It was like all millennials, all love Dawson's Creek. We chatted with a woman who has a 12-year-old daughter, and she was like, I don't know, I haven't let her watch it yet. And we were like, it's time, honey, rip that Band-Aid off. She's like, well, she just watched The Summer I Turned Pretty. I was like, oh, that's exactly the same. Like content-wise, she can watch Dawson's if she watched The Summer I Turned Pretty.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, were you talking to people in line or just the people around you?
Just the people around us. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So then we went in. It was a madhouse. So many people, but a very chill crowd. No drama. Merch was set up in the lobby. So like, you know how when you go to a Broadway show, so all the Hamilton merch was there, which they obviously weren't selling. But then in front of the Hamilton merch, they had put up the like posters with the image from the reunion special. There were like t-shirts and I want to say maybe hats. And then a sign that I only saw this morning when I was looking back at my photos was that they had signed copies of the posters available, which would have been kind of cool. I would have been interested to know how much those were, but it wasn't worth it to wait in the merch line. So we just went to our seats.
Now, this was the Richard Rodgers Theater.
Yes.
And is this where Hamilton typically usually is? I don't know much about the New York Broadway scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it is the theater where Hamilton is. Like everything, the marquee still said Hamilton, like it was still, It's like fully just a dark day for Broadway. So it wasn't like they completely revamped everything. So they were on the Hamilton right. set.
And this was a typical New York theater, very typically smaller than other cities.
Yeah, Google says it has 1,300 seats and they were all
okay, so it definitely had that intimate setting. Okay, great.
Very intimate. So we got to our seats, same vibe at the seats. Like everyone was chatting, chill. There was a couple on the end of my row and then one woman, me, and another one woman. So people were going by themselves. Like it was like Dawson's Family vibe. Like it didn't feel weird to be there by myself, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The one woman next to me was from Seattle. She came from Seattle.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. I totally get it though, because if I could have gotten a ticket, I would have made a trip out of it and gone. I mean, why not? It's a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
Totally. So I can dive in and just go beat by beat if you're cool with that.
Yes.
So it opened with a montage set to I Don't Want to Wait, behind the scenes footage, some photos. There were definitely, from what I know, the photos felt like new material. Like it feels like they were like, see if you can dig up any like photos. You know, they're not the ones you always see everywhere, which was pretty cool. I think there's a video of that. Did we post that video?
Yes, we posted two of those. One a little low res, one more high res after the show. So, I mean, it looked amazing. Did you like get the chills and it was just like palpable?
Yes. Yes. It was palpable. Everyone was like yelling, screaming, like everyone was on the same page. The only thing I can liken it to is I went to the Breaking Bad finale many, many moons ago at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And there was like such a reverence, like everyone was respectful, but also passionate about the thing. And that's how this felt. Like nothing went off the rails. No one was disrespectful. So like everyone was just cheering and it was very high energy in a good way.
From the video, the vibe I got was kind of like a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
What is Hall like E or Hall 5, that big hall where everyone just watches the trailer and they go nuts. And
totally.
It definitely had like a, this is our Comic-Con kind of vibe.
Yes, that's a great comparison. So after or during the montage, like at the end of the montage, Josh, Katie, and Michelle came out, just the three of them, and stood there. And it was so sweet. It was like such a nice moment, but also sad. Like it pointed to the fact that James wasn't there a little bit. So they stood there for like probably like a minute, maybe like 30 seconds to a minute by themselves. And then everyone else joined them. So again, like just everyone clapping, screaming the whole time. And then James popped up on the screen, which we also had a video of and posted a video of. And he talked about how he was so sad to not be there and like went into that a little bit and then said, but, you know, I'm happy to have someone who's never been an understudy in this theater before take over for me and then introduce Lynn. So that was very nice. And I have to say, like, I've heard from people mixed things about him filling in for this role, but I think for what he did, like last minute filling in, he did such a good job. I think, you know, it's obviously not James and it's not going to be the same, but it was very smooth. Like I didn't feel like, oh, what's happening here? And it wasn't like about him at all. It just kind of, he was there to fill his role. And I think he did a good job.
Awesome.
So then Renee Goldberry, that's her name, right?
Yeah, Renee Elise Goldberry.
She came out. She was hosting the whole thing, moderating the whole thing. She had a very sweet message about how, like, she watched the show when it was on. She was a working actress in the 90s, but she was very available. And she just, like, talked a lot about a little bit about the 90s, and then said, I would love to get back to the 90s and put all of our phones away. And that's caused people to be like, ugh. And she was like, don't worry. Like, I promise there will be photo ops at the end, like there will be time for you to get what you want to get, but for now, for this reading, if you could put them away. And they definitely enforced that. Like I saw a couple people in my area pull their phones out, and someone came around with a flashlight being like, put that away. And Jess said in her section she was like trying to take out her phone a couple of times just for little things, and they immediately were like, no. So that was, you know, good, I think, because everyone was focused on the thing. Nobody, you weren't like looking at other people's phones, which was cool.
Now, this was during the table read portion.
Correct.
No phones. Okay.
Yeah. So they did those intros, and then they jumped right into the table read. So Renee read the like stage direction and any of the script stuff, which was really cool to hear. I had never read the script before.
Me neither. That is really cool.
It was. I really liked really cool. it. So she was reading the stage direction. On the screen behind them, they had some stills of like different, it was usually a set or like exterior house or like exterior Cape Side, you know, but just something on the screen that went along with the scene. And then they would play score sometimes or little sound effects. And then they had a couple needle drops, which I'll get to as I go. But it was very effective. Like it was well produced. It was thought through, you know, not that I didn't expect that, but it was great. It was really good.
I think maybe what you're in our industry, when we do a table read, it's literally people just sitting at a table reading the lines to hear the lines out loud. But this felt more of like a produced event. They put a lot of thought into it and tried to recreate the pilot as much as they possibly can, which is really cool.
Yes, 100%. I was picturing them all kind of sitting in their seats and reading the lines, mm-hmm. but they had like five or six music stands up front. And when it was their time to speak or their scene, they would all come up. So it was like two people up at a time, which is, you know, I was absolutely picturing a table read. The first scene, obviously, is Joey and Dawson. And when Katie came up, Renee was explaining the character of Joey because it's the first time we've ever met Joey in the series. So in the script, they're giving some, you know, whatever. And Katie crossed her arms and gave like a real Joey face, and people were going nuts for that. Like, wah! It was so funny.
Like a pouty Joey face?
Exactly. And it was good. Like I said, like Lynn just kind of went for it. You could tell he definitely watched the pilot. Like he was very well versed in what his role was. So that was good. The first time you see Pacey is when they're doing the film shoot, you know, when he's the monster, and his first line. So he comes up to the thing, they intro Pacey. There's like 30 seconds of nonstop applause. It was like a huge applause. And his first line is, what was that all about? Which is to Dawson, but he said it to the audience, in a classic Josh way. It was really cute. It was very...
That's so Josh and so funny.
So Josh. Michelle came out. She got equal applause. It was like, you know, a beautiful young girl arrives in a taxi and everyone lost their minds. Mitch and Gail are iconic, as you would imagine. They're having their little... coffee table makeout session, which I think they may have kissed or kiss on the cheek, but it was really cute. Everyone was happy to see them. So then this is where we get into the other cast playing different roles. So Joey's house is the first scene where there was a character that wasn't there, which was Bodhi, and that was played by Kerr. So that was nice. Everyone went crazy for him, of course.
That is so cute. I love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Then Bessie came up. So Nina came up and her character description was so funny. It was no more than 22, pretty face gone tired, 10 months pregnant and big as a house.
Oh my God.
So Nina was like acting it all out. It was really funny. She's a star.
Did we get confirmation that it is Nina?
It is. Nina.
It is Nina.
Repeta, I believe.
Repeta.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like my life's been a lie.
I know.
But someone had DM'd us and told us about that. So we were ahead of that.
Yes, thank God. Imagine thank breaking God. News.
We've been saying Nina Rapita for 25 years. Well, that's amazing. I would love to see Kerr and Nina together. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was super cute. And then it's the video store scene. So it's Dawson and Pacey. And then what I forgot about in the video store scene before Miss Jacobs comes in is Nellie is there. So Meredith played Nellie, which she was so good at. But also it was nice to see Meredith and Josh together before seeing Josh and Busy, who played Miss Jacobs, which is what we kind of thought was going to happen. So it was nice to have that little moment of the two of them. I feel like people really reacted to that. And then Busy came out as Miss Jacobs and she was perfect. I mean, you can imagine she was like the perfect Miss Jacobs.
She was so good, you know, when in Dawson's movie in season six, when Dawson makes his little biopic of his life and Audrey plays Miss Jacobs and she is so good. This was my hope. This was my dream that she would play Miss Jacobs at the table read.
Well, your dreams have been realized. It was great.
My dream has come true. Meredith as Nellie is amazing.
So good.
Did she do like the voice?
Yeah, she's so good. I would kill
to see that. I meant to say, when you said they put phones away and they enforce that, my hope is that this will be available. I think a lot of people's hopes is that this will be available somewhere for purchase or sale or something.
There were tons of cameras in the back of house. So I would guess that they will put this up somewhere at some point for rent or purchase or whatever.
That'd be great.
Yeah. It was definitely being recorded professionally. So then it's the Dawson and Jen doc scene. And As I Lay Me Down started to play and everyone lost their minds, of course. It was like the perfect, like, oh, like they're going to play music. This is great, not just score. So that was great. And then it cuts to the scene where Dawson brings Jen into the house and she's like, oh my God, you're obsessed with Spielberg, that whole spiel. In that scene, Dawson lists like Josh, Schindler's List, like he's going through the movies. And so Lynn was doing that. And at the end, he said The Fablemans, which was so cute because it was him and Michelle. And she like gave him a little like hand flick. It was very adorable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And they just like there was basically no like improvising. There was like a little winking to the audience sometimes, but very little of that. But that like it was a seamless one. It was perfect. in that Dawson Jen scene, Mary Beth Peel has her first line. She's not really introduced quite yet, but she says Jennifer, and that the reaction to that was gigantic. So good. Back to you, Bob. Was wonderful.
Oh yeah, how was that? Was that weird to hear?
It was weird. Like I like turned my head, like involuntary reaction, like turned my head to look as if I had a friend next to me and there was no one. I didn't know the person next to me, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, nothing. Sorry, my bad."
Did anyone applaud it? Back to you, Bob.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like when
I love that
when they talked about Bob himself being on screen, people were like, "Boo!" Like it was very people were reactive for sure to everything.
I am starting to get jealousy FOMO hearing about it. The pictures and videos felt like I was there, but now that I'm hearing about it.
I'm hearing about this middle section,
I realized I was in fact not there.
Well, let me keep going and I'll fill in. You can fill it in your brain. Mary Beth Peel, then her next scene was like her actual first scene. She got giant applause. She looks great. I mean, all of them look great and all of them are stars. It's pretty incredible. We obviously know that and we talk about that all the time, but like there's no dud in the mix. Do you know what I mean?
I do. The casting was perfect. They found so much talent on that show and everyone's career has been incredible. And it's still, everyone's career is kind of either having a resurgence or they've just stayed so, you know, relevant. It's wild.
It is wild.
It really was like a generation of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin talked about that a little at the end. All right, I'll speed through the rest of this so I don't bore everybody. But the first scene where they're in the high school, Tub Thumping started to play. And that was like another moment where people were like, oh, yeah, this is great. Meredith as Nellie, again, so good. Pacey and Miss Jacobs, again, so good. Then we're in the scene with Dawson and Mr. Gold. Kerr played Mr. Gold. Killed it, like so good. Okay, so then this is the only moment of drama, which like it didn't even faze me. But during the scene where Bessie and Joey are together and they're putting on the lipstick before she goes to the movies, a like fire alarm or some sort of alarm went off. So the house lights came up and there were like blinking lights and like a meh, 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 alarm. So everyone stopped and then a voice came over the speaker and said, we need to pause for a moment while they figure out this alarm. And so people were like, oh, like, okay. People started to like stand up to go to the bathroom. And it was under 40 seconds before she was like, we've got it figured out. Don't worry. Like it was very well handled. So they restarted that scene with the house lights still up. And then they interrupted it one more time, like maybe 30 seconds later being like, hey, can we pause again? We just want to resolve this lights issue, you know, whatever. So while those lights were up, the cast was like, people took their phones out again and the cast was taking selfies like of themselves with the audience in the background. So I'll be interested to see some of those. But yeah, it was like I said, like it was a hiccup and like people were like, oh, what's this going to mean? But it was so well handled and they just like pushed right through it. Everybody, the theater was professional. The actors were professional. No one ever talked about it again. Like nobody commented on it. It was really good. So then in the movie theater scene, they put up a photo, like the still that they put up what had the cast in it from the pilot. And that got a big like, oh, like seeing them there reading the lines and then seeing them 30 years ago in the photo was really sweet and weird. And like, I don't know, it was great. So then Mitch stood up and was the guy with the few lines who punches Pacey in the theater. And after that moment, someone yelled from the audience, I love you, Pacey, which was the only real call out of the whole thing. And he smiled and sat back down, like no engagement, but it was cute. Then the Tamara Pacey scene down by the dock when he sees her after the movies was great. Like the two of them are so good together. The line where it's like, you got a little insecure about hitting 40. So when a young virile boy such as myself, and the two of them played that up so much, like he's like a young virile boy and everyone was cheering like crazy. And then when he says, I'm the best sex you'll never have, that people lost it at that. And then they had a big passionate stage kiss. Like they were kissing and he like dipped her. Like it was very high drama. And then Renee was like, hold on. You have to let me say this. And she read the stage directions. Like they did the kiss before she had read the stage directions. She read the stage directions and it says, she grabs him by the face, kisses him, sweet, simple. Which is like the opposite of what they did. So then Busy came back up and they did it again, like a little kiss. It was funny.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It was.
So she was reading the action and they were performing it over her words.
Yeah. So like oftentimes she would read the action and then they would do the thing. But in that moment, they like knew the kiss was coming. So they did the kiss and then she read the action and it was completely different. Another highlight was after jumping to the last scene with Joey and Dawson, after the bit where Joey asks him about walking his dog, the scene description was, in one single stroke, the whole line was, in one single stroke, things forever changed for them. But after one single stroke, because they were talking about walking the dog, the theater went crazy. Like Josh was cracking up, everyone was cracking up, and Renee was like, that's what it says here, in one single stroke. And then I'll Stand By You played for the last scene. Chills, love it. Lynn nailed the usually in the morning with Katie Couric. Like, he did it exactly how Dawson did it. And then Kerr played Bob. So Kerr and Margaret Mary had a nice passionate kiss in the background. I know.
Oh.
Scandalous. I was far enough away that I couldn't tell if they were actually kissing or if they were like somehow faking it. But it was funny.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was that.
And then we're done.
Yeah, they got a ton of applause, and that was that. And Renee came to the front. Everybody left the stage, and she was like, I can tell there are so many fans here tonight. Like, we can really feel it. And she said there's one fan who couldn't be here, but he sent a video. And then Steven Spielberg pops onto the screen. Who saw that coming?
That is crazy. That is probably the craziest thing I think that I saw come out of the whole night.
Crazy.
That is insane.
I know.
I mean, obviously,
and it makes sense.
Michelle,
yeah.
Michelle, right. You know, Michelle put the evening together, as we know, or got the ball rolling at least. So obviously, Michelle, that was a big pull. Great pull.
Yeah, that was nuts. There's a video of that on our Instagram, I think, too, if you want to see it. And then they brought out Busy, who thanked everyone. It was emotional. She talked about James a little bit, and then she talked about the auction. So she was like, you know, on Charity Buzz, there's all these things. Thankfully, a lot of us are hoarders. You know, there's going to be stuff added. She said she had a pair of jeans from Wardrobe, and there's just a ton of stuff she was talking about. So definitely check that out. I haven't been on this morning since, but it sounds like they'll be continuing to add different stuff. And then Busy brought out Kevin, and Kevin was like, I'm just really overwhelmed. This show is so special to me. I love it. I love the cast. It's like incredible that we got this cast. It doesn't usually work like this. It's magic. They elevated every word that I said. They're all wonderful people, which is like what we're saying. Like, they're all just so good. He talked about the charity, and then he said he was talking to Kimberly, James's wife, and was saying he was so sad he couldn't be there and he wishes that he were there. And she said, he is. And it made me feel like he was dead. But then he popped up on the screen. So I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But it was like a very weird moment where I was like, wait, what are we saying? And he popped on again, and he said his confession was he was never a film geek. He was a theater geek. And he always likened Dawson to the Phantom of the Opera. And, you know, it's like the woman that he loves somebody else, and he tells her to go and be with that person before they change their mind. And so he was like, in the scene where Dawson brings Jen to his bedroom in the pilot, he always had this song in his head, because it was like when the Phantom brings the Christine, I guess, or the lady to the dungeon. And he brought out Norm Lewis, Broadway star, to sing Music of the Night. It was beautiful. He was incredible. Incredible. So that was like another thing where we were like, oh, like, this is insane. You know,
I was wondering how he fit into the night, because I saw the pictures and videos of him. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So then they got to a little clip. It felt really random, but it was cute. And everyone was like, oh, they cut to a little clip of Dawson talking to Lily from the show about when she says, what's a soulmate? And he tells her. Yeah, it was really cute, but it was just like it wasn't related to anything. Like, they didn't comment on it. They didn't introduce it. It just like happened and then it was gone. But it was really cute. And then Renee came back out and said, remember when I told you you're going to be able to bring out your phones, which is funny because people had their phones out immediately after the pilot reading. But she's like, now's the time, like, if you're going to want to get your phone out. And she started to sing I Don't Want to Wait, which, like, obviously I know she's a Broadway star in my head, but I had like not really thought about it. She's a beautiful voice, obviously. So that was really cool. She sang the first verse. And then in the doo-doo-doos, she was like, sing with me. Like, don't just point your phones at me. So then everyone else started singing. And then she brought out Mary Beth Peel, who sang the second verse. And it was so cute. And she obviously has been on Broadway as well. So that was amazing. She did not really know the words.
Classic.
It was a little clunky. But we forgive her. She's a queen. It was great. It was awesome. They're singing and people are starting to come out, like the cast. And then they bring out two of James's kids and they sing. And it that's when the tears came for everyone. Like, everyone was so emotional in that moment.
Yeah, I bet.
And they were really good. It wasn't like, oh, let's just bring these kids out and see how they do. Like, no, they sounded yeah. great. And then his whole family came out, his wife, all of his kids, all of the cast. And then there was just a big, I don't want to wait sing-along. They put the lyrics on the screen. It was really special. That was like the moment that felt really special. Like, you're not going to recreate that. And then that was it. There were a lot of bows, a lot of waves, a lot of people taking selfies on the stage with each other, with the audience, like, you know, towards the audience, I should say. And that was the end of the night. And then on the way out, I was like, what is this line for? There was a huge line and they were like, oh, that's for the cast photos. So I'm sure they were there for hours taking photos of people.
Wow. People got to take cast photos. I didn't see any of those.
Well, that's the thing. So they advertised it maybe like a week ago. It's $750 for a photo with the cast. Oh. And you cannot use your personal phone. They take it with a professional camera and send you the photo. So I don't think they even have them yet.
Wow.
And you could have up to two people in the photo, I think.
That's incredible. They must have raised so much money last night.
So much money. Yeah.
Well, for anyone who couldn't go, I mean, you can still donate. I linked the donation page to F Cancer Now on our stories. But it's, if you just want to Google, it's F Cancer Now. Donate. It's super easy. You can type in the amount you want to donate. You can type in the name of the person you want to donate to. So it could be James Vanderbeek. It could be someone you know personally.
Yeah. And also another way to support, go to Charity Buzz. Same thing. It's F Cancer is the auction.
Yeah. To bid on all those things.
Yeah.
There's a lunch with Kevin. There's a lunch with Greg. There's a lunch, or maybe a Zoom with Kevin.
Yeah.
A Zoom with Greg, I think. And then it was a lunch with Busy and Michelle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what Busy said on the stage. She's like, do you have a best friend? That's great. Come and have lunch with me and my best friend. Bid on it.
Which is, it is so nice that they're doing that, but it is crazy. Like, could you imagine?
Like, doing it?
Could you imagine meeting with, like, a random stranger who paid, like,
thousands and thousands?
I mean, what if the person's crazy?
Yeah, true.
Okay, so Michelle put this night together, right?
Yeah, so, and James said that in his speech. He's like, my angel Michelle Williams came up with this idea. So her husband, Tommy Kail, is a Broadway producer, a TV producer. He's the director of Hamilton. So he had obviously the links to the theater. He was able to get all of that lined up. And then he obviously is friends with Lin-Manuel. He's done a lot of his projects. He's currently directing the live action Moana, which is in post-production now. But yeah, I think that the two of them, Michelle and Tommy, really spearheaded the thing and then got everybody else on board to help.
That is so funny, because here's how I saw it going down, but you're probably right. But there's a bunch of overlap, I guess. Busy was on Girls 5 Eva with Renee. So I didn't know if she got Renee to moderate because it's the Hamilton Theater or whatever. And then when James dropped out, I didn't know if Renee somehow got Lin. But you're right, it probably was.
I bet it's all one big soup. Yeah, they're all in it together. I'm sure. I mean, Busy is like so intertwined with anything Michelle does. So I'm sure she had a huge hand in it as well.
Yeah. It was nice to see Renee and Busy up there together, you know, if you're a Girls 5 Eva fan. So for those, I mean, I feel like everyone knows Renee Elise Goldsberry now, but for those who don't, she started out on One Life to Live, huge soap star. She's just one of those people who just came on. It might have been like a short-term role or a recurring role, but like nailed it out of the park, huge scene stealer, you know, like had chemistry on screen. When she was on screen, you leaned in, you know, it kind of became a bigger role, a bigger role, became a contract role. And then she got Hamilton. She's one of the Skylar sisters. And then she did Girls 5 Eva. And I think everyone was just like, oh my God, this girl can do comedy. She can sing. She can do Broadway. She can do drama. Like, what can she do? Kind of a thing. And now she can moderate live events, I guess. I mean, she's a star.
She's a star.
It was crazy seeing her in the picture. The first, because I didn't know. I just saw the picture you sent.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is that Renee Elise Goldsberry? That's crazy. It felt like my worlds were crashing together.
Also, quickly, it's worth mentioning that Jason Moore, so Tommy Kail produced the event, but Jason Moore directed the event. And he is a TV director, but he directed three episodes of Dawson's Creek. And the first episode he directed is episode 420. So that's coming up in next week for us.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll talk about him then.
So much weird tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we posted and reposted as much as we possibly could, I think. But also Kimberly Vanderbeek and busy, and a bunch of them posted their stories right after. I don't feel super comfortable like screen recording people's stories and posting it, so I didn't do that. But Busy and Kimberly just said, you know, the same thing you said, super magical night, once in a lifetime thing, so grateful. Wish James could be there, but it felt like he was, and it just felt so, I keep saying magical, but I think that's the word they kept using.
Yeah.
I'm just so jealous. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really cool.
I do hope the table read recording is somehow auctioned off or for purchase or something.
I have to believe that it will be because they're losing out on so much money if they don't.
Yeah.
I have seen nonstop comments of like, are you going to stream this? Is this going to be available to watch? Like, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. So
yeah,
I'm sure.
And there was no Q&A, so you didn't have to have the anxiety of asking your question.
I was thinking about it, though, and I it feels like such a dumb and, like, not important question. But if I had to ask one, I was going to ask about the direct address and, like, how much that was talked about and how it's just, like, something that is so iconically Dawson's Creek and not a way that we speak. And I would, but it feels very natural within the context of the show. So I just wanted to ask about that. One day I'll get my chance.
I'm fascinated by it as well. Because I just know, as a writer, I never use direct address in a scene between two people. But they do it all the time. And I love that they do
all the time. Pace,
but
Joe.
I just can't do it as a writer. But I love that they do it. And it does work.
And it's a choice. And I'm like, who made this choice? Like, did it happen organically? Right. Did Kevin just put it in the pilot and then it lived on? I'm so curious.
It's a very stylistic thing that really works. Well, what was Katie like? I mean,
she was great.
Because you get this impression of her from photo. Like, she's, and maybe it's the Tom Cruise of it all, but there's like a polished kind of veneer there. What is she like in the same room? Like, what is it?
She felt to me very Joey, like very warm, very goofy. And I think too, it helps. Obviously, they're all such good friends. So like they were all like looking at each other and like smiling and like doing little like side glances and stuff. Yeah, she seemed super chill is the wrong word, but just like casual, easy. It wasn't like, don't look at me. You know, I don't know. It was great.
But she was warm and it wasn't like a, not robotic, yes. That's the wrong word, like a stoic, like she was warm. That's good.
No, she was warm. And Josh was everything I wanted him to be. He was amazing, adorable, perfect in every way. But also he was so, like he clapped, I feel like the most, like he was clapping and laughing for Katie, for Meredith, for Michelle. Like he was so supportive of everyone while he was like sitting in his own seat. Oh my God, I love him.
Now, Josh and Katie, it was platonic touching, if you will. But I mean, they were touching a lot. They were holding hands a lot. They were
a lot. But they're also currently in that vibe for happy hours.
I know,
hours,
and they're close.
So,
yeah. And I know friends do touch like that. I don't touch my friends.
You hate touching.
I don't touch. But that was cute to see. I don't know. I can't explain it. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. It was just like comforting in a way.
Yeah.
Now, what were Michelle and Katie like during that bitchy scene?
Oh my God, it was so funny.
You a virgin? Lost mine to a Bubba. Like, what was that?
It was so good. They're obviously both so good, but Michelle, it sounds so stupid to say Michelle Williams is a star, but Michelle Williams is a star. Like, it's incredible. Her comedic timing too. I mean, nobody should be surprised. Obviously, like she's done comedy and Dying for Sex was amazing, but like she was so funny, especially in the scenes with Joey when she's like, when she's like, are you and Dawson a thing? And Joey's like, no, we're just friends. And Jen goes, like, we're going to be. She like got up in her face. It was so funny. It was really funny. Yeah.
Well, you know, Michelle is in one of my favorite movies of all time, Dick. I mean, we've talked about it. Michelle and Kirsten Dunst. Hysterical. Michelle is so funny.
So funny. So funny.
She was also really funny on Dying for Sex, which is a very sad show, but it had comedic elements. Her and Rob Delaney were so funny together on Dying for Sex. And Jenny Slate.
God, Jenny Slate's a star, too.
Should have won the Emmy. So should Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so jealous. What a night. What a time to be alive. Kerr was interviewed by Us Weekly this week doing the press tour for this. And he did mention that he has written a pilot spinoff of Dawson's that revolves around.
I don't know if we should say. Yeah.
Him. I'm going to keep it really general for the people who haven't finished season 6. I did repost that and tag Kerr and ask him to call me. He hasn't. But you never know.
I mean, hopefully soon. That's the thing. Like, I felt so physically like in proximity close to these people. And I was like, God, I just got to get my hooks in them. And even Gina, I saw Gina from afar. And my friend was like, you got to like barrel through and get up there. But at the end of the thing, they were being so aggressive. The theater workers, which I understand, being like, do you have a green wristband? If not, you need to leave. Like it got very intense because they were trying. I'm sure they're just trying to spare everybody's time. The line for those photos was so long. So they were like, we got to get this show on the road. But I was like 10 feet from Gina, but she was in a pod of people talking. And I wanted to be like, Gina, I interviewed you.
It's me, Christina, the pod.
She'd be like, what?
What pod? I've done so many.
I know.
Specify. Back to you, Bob. Well, thanks for the tidbits.
Of course.
I feel like I was there. I'm glad we didn't talk about it. I'm glad you didn't tell me anything.
Yes. Happy to be boots on the ground.
I think those are all my questions. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I could talk about it for hours, but we can't.
If anyone has any other questions, let us know. We'll address it in future eps.
I suppose we have to get to our jobs.
Oh, God.
But this is, morning after, hot off the presses. So
hot off the presses. And tomorrow we'll be releasing episode 419. And it may be a little later than usual because Mama's tired and she's got to finish editing. And she has a full-time job.
Look, we're in the middle of a global collapse. If our podcast comes out a few hours late, it's fine.
It's fine. Nothing to worry about.
All right.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Regularly scheduled programming. Bye.